Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 53rd weekly episode of the series Land of Light. As a reminder, it was said last week that Jundab, son of Junada al-Kenani, famous as Abu Zar Ghifari, who sought the truth, headed for Mecca for personal acquaintance with Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He called on Abu Talib's house to guide him to the Prophet's house. Now let's listen to the rest of the story. Abu Zar, who was delighted on meeting the Prophet of Islam, headed for the Holy Kaaba. He felt as though he had been brought back to life from death. He was like a patient who, after years of illness, had fully recovered. He felt like a person who had found the right path after being lost. The moment he had clasped the Prophet's hands, it seemed the current ran through his body and he was a born-again person. Anyone who had seen Abu Zar before would attest that he was now a totally different man. Rays of hope, certainty, and vivaciousness radiated from his eyes. Abu Zar remembered his long days of confusion and his contemplations in solitude. He at times felt the intensity of pressure upon him. Although at that time he had turned away from the superstitious beliefs of his tribe, it seemed that something mysterious still bothered him. He felt that though peace of mind would not return unless he found the ultimate truth, Abu Zar once again remembered what had happened to him the other day. Abu Zar said,
I wish you the best, O man of God.
May God bless you. Now tell me where you come from and what is your request.
My name is Jundab, the son of Junada. My nickname is Abu Zar. I am from Ghifar clan from the land of Yambu. From my land it takes 9 days to reach Mecca and 3 days to reach Yathrib. We are poor people. We live in an arid land. We are engrossed in several baseless habits, although members of my tribe are usually sharp-minded. They are, however, naive and gullible, with immature minds. They cheer up upon listening to a couplet of poetry, but are angered and resentful upon hearing another couplet. In short, they're ignorant people who are mired in unfounded thoughts. Although they apparently worship idols, they don't maintain a deep-rooted belief in them. They have no idea of hell or heaven. They only approach their idols whenever they have a worldly demand, on the assumption that these lifeless objects would solve their problems. In my tribe, suppression of others has become quite common and is not considered as an ugly act. They even boast about their injustices and compose poetry in shameless praise of their ugly deeds. However, my path is separate from theirs, since I do not believe in idols. Upon hearing that a man has risen in Mecca and inviting people to monotheism, which I eagerly seek, I came here to Mecca until they pointed out you to me. Now, O man of God, present your divine religion to me so that I would know the details of this righteous path.
The Prophet of Islam happily invited Abu Zar to his home and warmly welcomed him, convincingly answering Abu Zar's never-ending questions up until nightfall. Then the Prophet addressed Abu Zar.
Dear son of Junada, to become a Muslim, one attests that Allah Almighty is the one and only creator of the whole universe, besides whom there is no God, and I, Muhammad, is the messenger of Allah. You thus become a staunch monotheist. Then you observe the daily ritual prayers.
Abu Zar had immediately testified to the indivisible oneness of Allah and the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He then learned how to perform the ablution and perform the daily ritual prayers. Upon observance of his first congregational prayers led by the Prophet of Islam, Abu Zar came to know that daily ritual prayers are the pillar of the divine religion of Islam. Early in the morning, as Abu Zar, profoundly influenced by the charisma of the Prophet, took leave to depart, the Prophet told him to safeguard his faith in order to avoid persecution from the pagan Arabs of Mecca. Abu Zar said in response,
I obey you as the messenger of God, and I am not afraid to express my beliefs. With your permission, when I return to my homeland, I will loudly express my beliefs and loyalty towards you in every valley.
Then Abu Zar had asked about his duty. The Prophet told Abu Zar to return to his tribe and to invite them to the divine religion of Islam. The Prophet told Abu Zar to return to Mecca when the time comes for the public invitation to the divine religion of Islam.
O man of God, give me more advice in order to become further enlightened about the righteous path.
Dear Abu Zar, always tell the truth, even if it would be to your detriment.
What else, Messenger of God?
Don't fear people's reprimands in your worship and devotion to God Almighty.
And what else?
Love the poor and needy and stand by them.
What else, O Messenger of God?
Dear Abu Zar, beware that no one attains piety unless he keeps a watchful eye on his deeds. One should know what he eats, drinks, and wears, and whether they are religiously allowed or not.
Tell me more, O man of God.
When they ask you a question which you don't know the answer of, you should admit that you don't know the answer, not to be entrapped in the related negative consequences.
Abu Zar happily arrived at the Holy Kaaba. Now he felt powerful enough to stand up against the entire world on his own.
I attest that Allah Almighty is the one and only creator of the entire universe, and that Muhammad is his messenger.
Several idolaters who were prostrating to their idols heard Abu Zar's voice, and some of them turned their heads toward him.
Was that the voice of that scruffy stranger?
Abu Zar ascended the place of worship of the two idols named As'af and Na'ele, and addressing those who were worshipping them, said loudly,
I am Jondab of the Qafar tribe. I bear witness that Allah Almighty is the one and only creator of the universe, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
The loud voice of Abu Zar, which was not in line with his skinny body, drew the attention of all men and several elderly women. Arab pagan said,
"What is that dim-witted Bedouin man is saying?"
Abu Zar answered,
"O people, I am Abu Zar from the Qafar clan."
"What are you saying? This person should be killed so that others would learn a lesson."
Another pagan Arab reacted,
"Hit him! He's insulting our gods!"
However, the voice of Abu Zar was louder than other voices. He said,
"I testify that Allah Almighty is the one and only creator of the universe, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger."
Amid all that fury, a shoe hit Abu Zar's face, dropping his white headdress on the floor. Then he was punched in the nose, which started to bleed. He was pummeled, kicked, and slapped on the face. Abu Zar saw himself being pushed into the corner while others shouted profanities at him. Initially, he felt a deadly pain. However, after a while, his body gradually felt numb. At this point in time, the ones who were beating Abu Zar heard the voice of Abbas, son of Abdul Muttalib.
"Shame on you. What are you doing? You are trying to kill this man. Haven't you heard that he is from Ghafar clan? Don't your trade convoys which head for Syria pass through his tribe's place of residence?"
Upon hearing the remarks of Abbas, son of Abdul Muttalib, the angry man stopped beating Abu Zar. Now traces of fear were more or less evident in their faces. They had come to realize that if they would have killed Abu Zar, the trade convoys of Quraysh would no longer be safe and sound. So the two of them got hold of Abu Zar and slowly took him to the Zamzam well. Over there, they washed away blood on his face and body. Then they helped him drink some water to gradually recover. After people left him over there, he stood up and headed for Holy Kaaba while limping along the way. Dear listeners, many thanks for accompanying us in today's episode. Don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. Until then, God bless you and goodbye.